Lord, we are desperate for you. We are lost without you. We sing out your praise. Take a seat as we come to our readings.
The first reading is James 3, verses 1 to 12, Taming the Tongue. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water.
Carrying on from James 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness.
Well, I'm very glad I came here this morning. It's been great, hasn't it? The different testimonies, the different things people have shared have been so encouraging. Just thinking about encouraging words, think back to when you were young. Not to say that you're not young now, but think back to the people who had the most influence in your life, in your growing up years, who influenced you in your character formation and who influenced you in your life choices. I wonder if some of those people were teachers. I was looking back in the confirmation register because Gillian, as you know, was confirmed just a few weeks ago, well, about 3 weeks ago. And in the confirmation register, there were a whole lot of young people all confirmed on the same day. I think it was in this church. And Christopher and Teta, as well as Bex, were their main leaders. They were the influencers. Eileen was talking about influences. How many people from this church have been influenced to go out? James makes this point at the start of his reading. No human being can tame the tongue. And that if we can tame the tongue, we are perfect in every way. And so today we are going to talk about our words, our tongues, what we say and how we influence. But just before we go on in this reading, let's just take a step back to see where we've come from so far. We've done James chapter 1 and James chapter 2. James, the brother of Jesus, probably, writing to the 12 dispersed tribes of Israel. That means Christians everywhere, Gentiles and Jews, who were dispersed through persecution. Persecution is tough. Thinking of Chitra, it's not so much persecution for their faith, but difficult things that come that actually, goodness, they are so difficult at that time. And yet, they grow us in our faith. He talks about how we are grown in patience, in wisdom, and in maturity through different things that happen to us. And then he goes on to talk about how we should be doers of what we hear in the words of God, of Scripture, and not just hearers. Be a doer and not just a hearer. And on the same vein, chapter 2 was about faith and deeds. It's not that we can be saved through what we do, no. But when we are saved through our faith, like Abraham and Rahab were, then our lives change and our deeds change. And so you can see people of faith by what they do. Andrew was talking about a small church and how God uses people in that small church, not only to love and encourage one another, but to come around people in the community and to love and encourage and be with them at times when they need it. So today we're talking about talk, wise talk, wisdom and talking. First, the tongue. How difficult it is to tame that tongue. I brought my tongue along today. I know, it's horrible, isn't it? It's one of the smallest parts of the body, but it has such an influence. And he uses, James uses, as always, many vivid examples. He actually uses three of tiny things that have great influence. That tiny bit of the horse that you put in its mouth that guides the horse. The tiny rudder on the big ship that steers its course. Robin's kayak has a rudder. It's a big kayak. Mine doesn't have a rudder. When Robin paddles his kayak, he goes straight line. When I pedal, my kayak goes in a zigzag. It takes a lot more effort, but he doesn't believe me. The tiny spark that could set a whole forest on fire, and the tiny tongue, sometimes a bigger tongue, which has such a big influence and is so hard to tame. I looked back in my little notebooks from when I was a teenager, and I used to write what I felt God was saying to me. I also used to write down my prayers. Very funny to read, when, you know, your 14 or 15-year-old self writing these prayers. But one of my main prayers was, Lord, help me to think before I speak. Help me to use my words to bless and to praise God, to praise God in encouragement of others. Even now, sometimes I say things without thinking about it. And I often say, please be patient, because God isn't finished with me yet. Sometimes we regret what we say. Think of those texts that you might send off, or that email that you might send, or that conversation that you had, or in a certain president's case, referring to female politicians, his tweet. They should go back to where they came from. The damage that words can have. Does that mean we should only speak good things, kind things, nice things? Some people accuse Christians of being wet blankets because they don't seem to get involved in the nitty-gritty of life. But I don't think that's what James is saying. So I want to offer a word of caution, and this is going a little bit deeper. Sometimes it's the things that make us most angry, that hurt us the most, that we feel the strongest about, that cause us to act and to say things that make change. On Tuesday, the 30th of July, the Church of England commemorated the work of three anti-slavery campaigners, one of whom, and the most well-known, William Wilberforce. He was born in Hull in 1759, 200 years before I was born, and he was converted to evangelical Christianity as a young man. He chose to serve his faith, not in the church full-time, but in Parliament, and he was made an MP at the age of 21. Of all the causes that he fought for, he's best remembered for his tireless campaign against slavery. And trading in slaves was made illegal in the British Empire in 1807, the same year that Isaac Newton died, who wrote that song, Amazing Grace, that we sung today. He was also a slave master and later, after conversion, campaigned against slavery. It was in the year of his death that it was abolished in the British Empire. But another 26-odd years before the complete abolition of slavery took place, just before his death, on the 30th of July in 1833, 50 years he campaigned, speaking out about treating human beings as people made in the image of God, no matter who they were, no matter where they lived, no matter the color of their skin. Today, we still have human slaves and human trafficking. And what a blemish on our nation's character that we should allow, we don't allow, but we need to root out this kind of thing that's happening in our country. So, the beginning of July, I went to Edgbaston, not to play cricket, or not even to watch it, which is a pity, but I went for a week of National Citizens UK training. And one of the things they talked about there was acknowledging that anger and hurt often motivate for action. And they distinguish between two types of anger, and I think this is important, because anger isn't always wrong, but hot anger, rash anger, anger spoken without any control, that can really be damaging. The spark, the forest. But cold anger, i.e. anger that we feel strongly but which doesn't get blurted out, it's measured and directed towards a particular purpose to make a difference for a particular thing. That's good, because our families and our community and our society can be changed through that kind of measured, wise, spoken and acted upon anger. Use your anger to good results. It will make a difference. So back to James. After talking about the tongue, he talked about wisdom. He talked about earthly wisdom of the devil, which he says comes out of our hearts if they're evil, and actually it produces all sorts of boastful, jealous, contentious things, okay? But good wisdom, heavenly wisdom, wisdom that comes from God, and we've been singing about that wisdom a lot, that wisdom is really the heart of the matter. And it strikes me that actually the heart is what is most important when it comes to our speaking. It's not our tongues. It's what comes out of our heart, because after all, the tongue is a neutral agent. J. John was famous, well, he was famous for many things, but one of the things he's famous for is saying this: the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. What's really central to the way we talk and behave is what is going on inside. And that's why when Jesus said to the Pharisees, and he used some quite strong words, he said to the Pharisees, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." So here's a challenge. What do you fill your mind and heart with? What is it you watch on television? What do you listen to in terms of music? What do you read? What friends do you choose to spend your time with? All these things feed our hearts and minds. What we choose to read, to listen to watch, it changes us. And these two types of wisdom, the wisdom that comes from earth, which breeds jealousy and contentiousness, boastfulness, lies, and results in unruly behavior and every kind of evil practice, that comes from the way that we live our lives on a day-to-day basis, what we listen to, what we read, who we spend time with, what we do. In contrast, the wisdom which comes from above, from heaven, is first of all pure. It's peace-loving, it's considerate, it's submissive, it's full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. How do we get this kind of wisdom? It's not immediate, it takes time. But James says it in chapter 1, verse 5. He says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Last week, the reading: ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. Let's ask for wisdom. So I'm finishing with this challenge. Take some time to reflect on your life, your words, your speech. Are you pure in heart? Are you peace-loving? Are you considerate? Are you submissive? Are you full of mercy? And can we see good fruit, impartial and sincere, growing in your life? Let's ask God for wisdom. Let's ask God for a change of our human hearts. Let's be ready to take control of our tongues, and let us be peacemakers. Amen.